Welcome, adventurers, both young and old. If you're looking to find a place where immortal witches, portal-jumping scientists, and adorable baby knights collide, then you're in the right place. A magical adventure unlike any you have experienced before, as World Talkers, an unofficial Evermore fancast, is about to begin.
Welcome to World Talkers, an unofficial Evermore fancast. Once again, I am joined by my best buds, Dan and Skylar. Go ahead and say hello.
Hi, everyone. My name's Dan.
Why are you so down, Dan?
It's because Evermore is just so strange, and I don't know how to approach it. I don't know what it's about. I don't know anything.
And I'm Skylar, and I know everything about it. Here's the Evermore knowledge sandwich, and shove it down your gullet right now.
Oh, that's too much. It's so overwhelming for me. And now I'm not interested in going because it was sold to me wrong.
I wonder if we should talk about how to tell people about Evermore and kind of sell it to people, as you mentioned, and kind of how to overcome the oddity that is Evermore.
You mean you don't want to get smacked in the face with a burger? Unsolicited?
Unsolicited, no. Solicited, yes. I would very much like
a solicited burger slap, yeah.
Yes, cloudy with a chance of meatballs-esque food just raining down on me always, but unsolicited, no.
Consent is key, even with burgers. Remember that.
I mean, I was just going to say maybe we should break it down into more digestible pieces, but sure, way to break my analogy with your weird desire to be smacked by burgers.
I mean,
it's so that I can eat it.
I mean, it works so he can eat it and then digest it.
And then digest it. Hey, let's go into digestible pieces.
let's like a mother, cut that burger down into smaller pieces and feed it to me, your son. I am now your son, Chandler and Skylar. I am a tiny baby boy. That's what this episode is going to be. Welcome to the episode.
Welcome, everyone. Before we get started on this episode topic that I'm really excited for, just a note here at the top of the episode, Evermore Park is opening in a couple of days. So make sure you go and check out everything there. We'll be talking about the specifics of how their new way of operation is going to happen. And that will actually come as a future episode. So make sure to check out that when it releases.
And we'll also be discussing that later on at the end of the episode, what that's going to look like.
Exactly. As well as new awesome stuff are coming to our podcast as COVID-19 and the restrictions have kind of lifted a little bit more. We will still be very cautious, but we are planning on meeting with people in the cast and crew and serving up some Evermore interviews there for you.
And I know in our last podcast meeting that this idea didn't sail, so I just thought, hey, I'll do it live. Since COVID's kind of dying down, are we okay to do my special World Talkers cough hour where it's just us coughing on each other, on our guests, sharing those germs?
You know, like I did say, the restrictions have lifted. COVID-19 is still very much a thing, so do not cough. We will be very careful.
Very well.
Coughing.
We'll continue to flatten the curve. Flatten the curve. Wash your hands.
Yes.
Okay. So just to kind of jump back over to the episode, the from what I'm understanding between you two and everyone and kind of just how we want to do this is that we are attempting to the best of our ability to help our friends and people we want to go to Evermore overcome the oddity, the strangeness of it.
Yeah, I mean, it is a very weird thing to be like, what is Evermore? And you're like, there's so many layers to that question. How do I answer? With our previous episodes, you know, revisiting what is Evermore and all of those, we have attempted to make it a bite-sized digestible feature that you can explain. But sometimes even those explanations don't do well enough, right? Evermore has so many layers that you could kind of focus on. So we're going to kind of take it as a little bit of why it is difficult for someone to kind of swallow there, or why someone may have problems going to Evermore, and then kind of addressing those simply and then kind of, as I understand it, we'll kind of go into some role-playing the famous Quirrell Talkers role plays.
Yes!
Quite a while
since. We're bringing them back! It was my idea, we're bringing them back! It's, and really, it's the as the episode goes on, you'll see that the methodology we're going to use to kind of break this down is less of kind of what just a microcosm of what Skylar and I did at the very beginning, rather than trying to just give a person all of the facts about Evermore. We'll learn that it might be more beneficial for us to learn how to speak to the understanding of the person and to actually where they're coming from. So rather than say, hey, here are all the facts, say, hey, well, what do you understand? And let's talk to that level. And then those other things will naturally come and we can build on that way. But let's talk about some of the difficulties, some of the things that are initially the challenges for some people, when they first start thinking about Evermore, if they want to go to Evermore, someone's brought up the concept of it to them. I mean, first things first, as Chandler said, it can be a bit odd for someone who's never engaged with it. And one of those first things is it's fantasy. And additionally, I would even add, you know, it's a live fantasy. And that's not necessarily something for everyone. It can be daunting. The genre might not be the thing that they are most interested in. Like, for example, my dad, when I first started telling him that I played D&D, he told me the story of when he was in high school, his experience with D&D. He was going around just joining all of the clubs to get in their photos and so on. They went to the D&D club. He walks in, the DM walks in 5 minutes later, snot rockets. He's got a dangler and doesn't deal with it for like a straight minute. And like my dad just had a gag experience, fled, and forever that has changed his view on D&D. Like that was his perception of it for a very long time, was that guy's snot rocket. And so I'm not going to say that everybody has a snot rocket feel to fantasy, but I mean, I guess we do have to acknowledge that we're nerds, we're passionate, but not everybody experiences our passion the same way. So that's kind of one of the first difficulties I would say some people would have coming to this new format of fantasy.
And I think to follow right back up with that, you said that it was live fantasy.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
I honestly think that's where the confusion and a lot of the disinterest comes from. It's like, well, okay, so there's this thing with movie and books. I can deal with that, but then this is essentially LARPing, right? And LARPing or live action role playing, in my opinion, even as a nerd, as kind of a societal belief, it is the nerdiest of the nerds.
It's the lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt. Fantastic video. Just go search lightning bolt, lightning bolt, lightning bolt. It's a great time. The man was having a lot of fun.
Like, and there's so much. I don't even know what exactly the word is.
Stigma?
Stigma, yes. There's such a stigma with live-action role-playing that oftentimes it is so uninteresting to the general consumer, even though all it is, I mean, when I went to Harry Potter, the premiere way back in 2012, I want to say, people were dressed up and acting like their favorite characters. And that's all this is, and all LARPing is in its general or simplest form, as well as kind of what Evermore is, they haven't yet gotten into everything that it could be. So I think it has that stigma, but it definitely doesn't need that stigma. So
I agree. I think it's just a part of the whole cultural movement in general, as being a nerd, as being into comic books and superheroes and fantasy in general over the past decade or so has been on the rise. And it is becoming, I guess, cool to be a nerd or to be excited about nerdy things. And so it is kind of just going up that way. So
I would say generally things are improving. So that is, there is a positive trend there. You know, and additionally, I would say, you know, Evermore, and we'll kind of have some more to talk about this down the line with Evermore's sort of new adventure format. It's sort of a choose your own adventure book in a way. And some people might look at it and say, well, like, well, yeah, there's an adventure there at the park, but there are adventures I could be going on at home. There are other media I could be experiencing and enjoying. They just might have a different preference, and they might just have a sort of Bilbo attitude. And I quote, because I will never stop bringing Tolkien into these episodes if I'm continued to be allowed to write the outlines. Bilbo said, "We are plain, quiet folk and have no use for adventures. Nasty, disturbing, uncomfortable things make you late for dinner. I can't think what anybody sees in them." Maybe you're just dealing with a Bilbo. And you know what? You just might be a Gandalf. Who knows? But we'll get into how to be Gandalf in a bit.
I think another one of the, barriers to entry or difficulties for people when it comes to Evermore is definitely the price. I think with anything, any physical outing, a lot of things that either excite me or deter me from doing something is just the cost of what it will be to do it.
Especially since what Evermore is saying is, hey, not only are we going to give you a lovely story that you can experience once, but you will become obsessed with it to the point that you will want to go again and again. And people were like, well, the cost of entry really hurts if I am going to be paying that every single time.
And there's the cost of entry, the cost of the ticket, but there's also the cost of your time, where, you know, in the past for Aurora, like, you would go and you'd go spend 5 hours of your Saturday night engaging in the park. In other seasons, you had Mondays, Fridays, and Saturdays, where, again, like, you had 5 hours, four to five hours in this park, spending a considerable amount of your night. And somebody who is looking at Evermore for the first time as something that they've never experienced before, like, 5 hours in this unknown space is daunting. Like, I think of parties that I've been invited to, and really that's what it basically is when you invite somebody to Evermore. You're inviting them to a party, basically. When they show up, I have rarely gone to a party where I've wanted to stay there for 5 hours. Like, I don't know everybody. I don't know what's going on there. I could be doing something, again, more interesting with my time. I could be Bilboing back home and having a good old time. But the price in money and time can be frightening.
As well as, you know, that comfortability. Like you were saying, yeah. People are like Bilbos. They just want to stay home because it's comfortable.
And being a Bilbo isn't a bad thing. Bilbo's great.
I mean, I would probably fit within that category.
I Bilbo all the time.
I guess one of the biggest things there then is we believe personally, and probably you do as well, that Evermore is for everyone. And the problem is that not everyone believes Evermore is for them. So we know it is good. We know it is great, but the others just don't know it yet. They're still getting adjusted to the party.
So, I mean, I guess let's just kind of dive into, like, before we get into being big ol' Gandalfs, let's just talk about the simple things that we can do to start people on that great adventure of Evermore. And I think one of the first things that at least I would recommend is just taking things that they already understand and connecting them in to Evermore. And I would say that as Evermore continues to develop, I think we'll find more and more things for us to be able to connect into over time. But I mean, just by knowing the person that you're inviting to the park, you can sort of personalize the pitch of Evermore to them. Is there a specific book that they quite like that maybe fits in with some of the themes of Evermore? Is there a game, a movie, a theater show, something? Like, certainly you can find something to connect into them and say, hey, Evermore is like this thing you really enjoy. And I would say that's probably one of the simplest things that, at least for me, like, that might get me interested if I had never heard of it before.
I mean, when we ask the cast and crew in our episodes, in interviews, in previous episodes, rather, the cast and crew has told us that when they explain what Evermore is, they very often do this. They're like,
yeah,
hey,
yeah.
You have seen Westworld? You know, this is something that Bobby Cody mentioned in his interview, as well as we heard a little bit about the Game of Thrones and kind of that fantasy style thing, you know? And so it really comes down to bridging the gap. And I think this is just an important skill whenever you are discussing things. Understanding the differences as well as the similarities between people and talking and discussing them and applying them where they can be applied.
Absolutely.
I think it's a great way to bridge that gap and kind of get a grasp on what they're enjoying. It's a great way to get into their head and see what they're working with. One of the things to consider as you're doing this as well is that any of their ideas, whatever it is that draws them to that particular thing or to their particular interests, like don't shut them down. Make sure that they feel listened to and heard, because that's what we're really, you know, hoping to do. We want to understand. Not even necessarily just for Evermore. It's just a great human trait to seek to understand those around you. And so a very good way that you can help do that is instead taking that interest in that book and that thing right there, you can break down the facts of Evermore and the components of Evermore and how they relate, just as you guys were saying. And hopefully help them overcome some misconceptions that they didn't even realize they had about the park.
Yeah, because you can... Like I would say it's pretty easy. You could go to pretty much just about any post Evermore has put out there, and there are people asking about, well, like, what is this thing? What is this change that you're making? I'm not sure I fully understand. Like the general nature of humanity is to ask questions and frequently not fully have all of the answers. So like just one of the things that you can do and we're hoping to do with this podcast is fill in those gaps of misunderstanding and make those connections where people can say, ah, I get it now. That's what Evermore is doing. That's where these things are all coming together. Very, very well put, Skylar. And then as well, just like, and this kind of goes for those who are in the position to do so. Not everybody is going to be able to do this. I can't really do this, but if you're in the position to do so, if someone's only objection going to the park is that they don't really want to pay for the tickets just because they don't know like the actual value of the park yet, you can offer to pay for the tickets. I mean, it's a great date night. It's a great fun night with family. It's a great fun night with kids. It's a great fun night with friends. And if you're buying a ticket for a friend or two, it probably won't super break the bank. Still want to be careful. You still want to be considerate of what you're doing. But I mean, if you're in a space to do it, I think people enjoy free stuff, and that might at least ease the mind a bit. Kind of take a bit of the pressure off of saying, okay, I'm going to spend all of this money, and I personally need to make the most of the night. Nah, Sharon is paying for my ticket, and Sharon's going to help guide me through. The pressure is off of me and is fully shifted onto the park to make me enjoy it. So that's kind of a fun little thing. But then I would also kind of say as well, just remember, you get what you get. You get back what you put in. So like have a good time. Make yourself have a good time.
I think that the park has become a lot more accessible as well in regards to that specific point there of trying to help people get into the park. And again, we'll talk about this a little bit later as well, a little bit more in depth, but the ticket price to entry, general admission right now, is only like $15 to get into the main field of the park to experience and just see what it looks like on the inside. So pretty accessible. Like obviously if you're bringing a lot of people, it could add up, but if you just have one friend, it's like, yeah, for this evening, for 5 hours or 4 hours or however long you want to stay, come on, just look around, just come see.
Yeah, for the price of a movie, you get 5 hours of entertainment and fun and like experiencing a new place. It's kind of awesome.
Yeah, and the park is going to speak for itself. Like you said, it'll rely on the park to do what it does, and I think it will do quite a bit of convincing.
Yeah, the park delivers. Like that's I think that is the lesson learned about Evermore time and time again is, you know, it given the time and space to develop and become its best. It delivers, and it delivers now.
And honestly, that all comes down to also as you are having conversations with people about this, letting them know that fact. Like, hey, this is something new that you may or may not fully get right now, but I think you would enjoy this. And I think to first open that conversation up or really first kind of have this dialogue is being willing to have that. Dialogue of, you know, hey, this may take some convincing, but this is something that I'm passionate about or something that I really enjoy. I think you will enjoy this as well. So let's talk about it, right? As we kind of move into this new, into this next section of how do you actually promote the park and invite people? And I really think that is important simply because you want people to enjoy the park. We want people to enjoy the park. And the more people that go, the more things that the park will be able to do with their story, with their features, with, you know, it, that's the reality. And so that's why we're kind of talking about this is, hey, we want more people to enjoy this so that we can all enjoy as a community something amazing here and that the park itself will be able to do.
Yeah, it's, we'll teach you how to evangelize forevermore in the right way. something that doesn't put people off, but rather like entices them. Because I guess the goal of what we're going to find is that we're going to use people's own thought processes with them to sort of get them to see maybe their points of views in a slightly different way. And there is a lot to talk about on this conversation. There are plenty of resources out there to learn how to do this better. We're just going to kind of be talking, just so you are aware, we're going to be discussing a bit of what it means to have a Socratic dialogue. And
that sounds complicated, and I don't know what that means.
And we will break it down. I promise.
Cool.
And then as well, what it means to examine epistemology and to use a sort of epistemological approach to the Socratic dialogue to get people to kind of consider things differently. And that's really just a fancy way. And this is how I would break it down. It is a perspective exchange for perspective change. So you will engage with a person. You will understand where they're coming from. And then you will be able to better give your perspective on certain things and hopefully challenge certain assertions, ideas, beliefs, so on, and help things down the line. So first off, just a brief conversation on this. What is epistemology? Big scary word. There are plenty of big scary words out there. This one is a scary one. It's just a way of coming to knowledge and justifying a belief in that knowledge. So if in the future we discuss about epistemology, it's just, in simple terms, a way of knowing. So in this case, what we're really trying to ask is, are the ways you have come to know a claim reliable in justifying your belief? In this case, for example, if someone's claim is that Evermore isn't really for them, are they sufficiently rational in their approach to being able to say Evermore isn't for me? Do they actually have enough information? Do they actually have the ability to say Evermore isn't for them? The answer, probably in a lot of cases, is no. And we're going to kind of help them figure out why that is without being like, no, you're wrong. It's kind of a fun thing.
Yeah, this point of view and kind of this conversation here does acknowledge that people have their opinions.
They
and
do.
They are wholeheartedly justified in having them.
Yes.
And all we're saying is maybe deep dive a little bit more into the reasons why. Okay, so what Dan just said was, if people are just simply saying no, and they're open to having a dialogue about Evermore, about whatever, maybe ask why the answer is no. And do they have additional resources or additional reasons for saying no? And then being able to kind of discuss those is that kind of what I'm understanding?
Yeah, yeah. We've discussed epistemology, and now we're kind of bringing it into the Socratic dialogue of what exactly it is we're examining. So we're going to have this dialectical technique, another big word, of being able to sort of question people, speak with people, engage in this conversation that cuts back on counter arguments and counterfactuals, and it cuts back on bickering. And it's a really fantastic way of being able to engage with people that has been used to sort of examine some of the biggest questions humans have been asking for a very long time. And we're going to kind of be taking this tool and scaling it back down to the big question of Evermore. Just to give you some perspective as we're moving through this, the Socratic dialogue method, at least how we're using it today, consists of five parts. First, we engage with the topic of wonder. What is the question even about? Then we go into the second point, which is the hypothesis. What is the person's claim, belief, so on. Then we move into the next phase, which is, this is just, I want to say it's a Greek term, might be a Latin term, the elenchus, which is essentially just the mode of questioning, responding, understanding. This is where the perspective exchange occurs. And then we move into the next step, which is the accept or revise, which is where that perspective change occurs, where the questioning that we had in the elenchus, we apply it back up to that hypothesis. If it challenges it, then maybe we revise the hypothesis. If it completely debunks it, then maybe we say, hey, I was wrong. We'll move on to something else. And then at the very end, we have the act accordingly section. We have essentially what I would call the challenge step, the next step phase, where with that new knowledge, you then have space to move and kind of take that into different directions. So we're going to kind of go through these steps again, maybe looking at them some more and a little more in depth, so we can kind of discuss what this conversation might look like in a way. So first off, wonder the big question. The question is, what do you think of going to Evermore? You know, chances are this conversation like is going to be coming after a time of you talking to somebody about Evermore or seeing an ad out on a billboard somewhere. Evermore has been brought up and now you get to engage somebody and know what their point of view is, know what their hypothesis is on the park. All right, so what do you think of going to Evermore? And then they will present the hypothesis, which in this case, for our episode today, the answer is going to be, well, Evermore isn't really for me.
And then as you described the elenchus, this part really is not a debate. It is not, I'm just going to smash them over the head with facts. It is not, as we called it in the top of the episode, is not just handing them all of the facts, but it is really a discussion at time to ask questions to further uncover and be able to examine the thought process that is there. Oh, so Evermore is not for you. May ask why. Some kind of suggestions for questions that we can ask are, why do you say that? Or what would change your confidence in that claim? Or I'm not sure I understand what you mean by that. Can you break that down further? That is something that these are just good dialogue, good conversation habits to have, is I'm trying to understand more, not so I can just bash you over the head with my opinion or my way of thought, but rather that we can understand together. And maybe at the end of the day, things don't change. That is possible. And we acknowledge that. But this is the conversation. These are some things that can help one really come to terms with that and understand on a deeper level thoughts, opinions, and kind of question that hypothesis that Dan posed.
Yeah. I think a very good example for this is something like, oh, okay, well, we've asked, what do you think of going to Evermore? And they said, Evermore isn't really for me. And then you go, oh, well, why is it not for you? And then they would respond with, Evermore is a bit too LARPy for me. I don't like LARPing and it seems weird.
And you know, I have heard that answer given in a number of ways. And you know, I think there are, specifically during this elenchus period, there are a number of ways that you could respond to that sort of additional claim. Evermore is not for them, and it's too LARPy. So we kind of have these two things that we're working with. Focusing on their topic on the LARP, this is what I would say is the less suitable response, but I mean, it's one that we would probably give in most situations. You know, you might say, that's really interesting. Did you know that you actually don't have to go dressed up? The vast majority of people just go to the park as themselves in regular street apparel. You know, that one is just kind of, it gets straight to the point, but it kind of leads to this circular conversation of, well, it's still too LARPy for me because there's still all the costumes and so on. It didn't address the issue well enough. Maybe it's enough, but I would still say that one isn't the best possible response. There's a better response, and we'll get to a best response in a moment. There's a better response where it's like, I think I can see where you might think that. What about that specifically would stop you from wanting to attend Evermore? That way, that gets the individual to kind of challenge what LARP even does for them. Like, why do they not want to engage with the LARP aspect of the park in the first place? if they can put their arguments into words, you're in a much better place to understand their stance and what might convince them otherwise to attend the park. And, you know, you're not necessarily working solely to convince them, but at the very least, you'll be able to work with that claim and hopefully be able to change their perspective on it. And hopefully that's kind of what we're going to be able to do with the best response here. You might say, I'm not sure I understand what you mean when you say LARPy. Can you break that down for me when you say that? What do you mean by that? And now this one seems kind of simple and maybe even reductive in some ways, but I would say this is the best. Why? Because you're actually getting them to give you their definitions. Words matter. Definitions matter. Someone might be able to say, well, this is how I personally view what this is. And then you can come in and say, well, what would change your perspective on that? And that leads you down further routes of conversation where other ones might block off certain gates of conversation. So this one opens up even more as you're getting just further understanding. Like the entire process of the Alenkos and the Socratic dialogue is to be able to open up conversation rather than shut it down. You open up the space for claims and assertions to be made so that you can understand them, see where they're coming from, and then you can address them in a way that isn't, I'm going to smack you in the face with the fact burger, but I'm going to motherly talk through these points and kind of give kind pushback on these claims. So just kind of a fun little thing. So that would be our less suitable, good best sort of setup for that. Now I would just add to this little space. You know, as we're getting to like talking about basically giving ever more to people, making them want to come. This isn't and cannot be combative. The moment it gets combative is when the dialogue is lost, and you're probably not going to win ground because you're equally going to be pushing back to one another. No one should want to pull their hair out during the conversation. If that happens, I would just say, hey, step away. Hey, well, let's talk about Evermore again later. I heard that they're going to release some more information about stuff that's happening this weekend. Maybe that'll interest you. Just I would say thank them for their time. Thank them for letting you, like humoring you in your fun conversation, your nerdiness, and let that conversation sit for a bit. Who knows? Maybe the stuff that was discussed beforehand will help still let them challenge and question what their thoughts are on those things. But I would just say again, if it ever gets to a point where things are feeling combative, and they really shouldn't with this method, but just step back, let the conversation breathe. I talked for like 10 minutes straight.
No, you're good. It's very informative, and it's very interesting stuff to be dealing with. I like it a lot in regards to the fact that it's asking open-ended questions that are also pointed. It's kind of an interesting fact of trying to dig to the heart of the problem. For instance, like maybe, like someone says, oh, it's too LARPy. It's like, oh, well, what do you not like about LARPing? And they're like, oh, I don't like that they hit people with swords. You're like, oh, well, why don't you like that? And they're like, oh, I don't like violence. Why don't you like violence? It's just a continually asking why, hopefully not in the annoying toddler way of why?
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 Right.
But it just trying to understand, like actually get to know them as a person and then see how their life experience mm-hmm. is affecting or is influencing the decisions that they make.
Yeah. And and I would say like with the topic of violence, be like, well, I guess what is your understanding of violence in Evermore? I guess I don't really know what kind of violence there is in Evermore. Is there violence in Evermore? I don't really know. And they can have that space to question. Oh, I had a thought that I didn't have fully reasoned out. I had something in the space where I thought was a good enough reason, but it turns out it wasn't suitable. Again, that the entire sort of process of this is to get that to happen of like, oh, I guess I was kind of wrong there. What would change that? And then you can kind of say, well, what would, since you don't know, like, did you know this? boom, you can kind of start moving into that space of, well, let's fix that assumption. Let's kind of talk about the facts there for a little bit. And then you can move on to other claims, other thoughts that the person has brought up. But absolutely, it's being open to question. It's being open to change. It's being open to just a sort of revelatory conversational space where people can engage openly and feel like, oh, this is a conversation I want to have. And it's interesting and it's fun.
It's a very good way to, again, if you don't make it confrontational and if you just are truly trying to understand, it just is a great opportunity to invite people to be introspective in general. And yeah.
And I will say here that many people may not have this kind of talent or be aware or even really, many people may not even choose to be introspective very often. That's going to be the reality. So if this doesn't work and, you know, you kind of, it just starts frustrating the person, as you said, Dan, feel free to take a step back and be like, hey, you know, you yourself, you either haven't really taken the time to think this out, maybe just inviting them, hey, it sounds like you don't really know much about Evermore. Here's some links or here's a podcast about Evermore. And
plug.
Take a listen and kind of see why exactly you're not super interested. Because the reality is Evermore has always, they've kind of struggled to put out exactly what they are doing and why it is cool and what they even are. That is the reality of it, is there's not much information out there, and what there is, it doesn't always make sense to everyone. Yeah. So just be aware of that as well, that this method here may not be for everyone, but it is an excellent way to get introspection to happen, to show willingness to understand and love, honestly, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
It is, hey, I'm going to accept you for whatever your answers are. Yes, I would like to maybe challenge some of those, but at the end of this all, we will be closer and we will understand each other better than before.
Yeah, the ultimate goal behind this, driving it in general, is that I enjoy this thing. I want to share this thing that I enjoy with you. What are the reasons why you think you won't enjoy it? And let's talk about that so that we can ultimately have an enjoyable time. So after you've asked these questions, you get to these clarifying questions of, okay, well, why? Why don't you like this thing? We go a layer deep. Well, what is your thoughts on this? How does it fit in that regard? You come to a point eventually where you've discussed kind of enough of like, oh, well, let's kind of challenge the initial question. Why do you think Evermore is not for you? And this is a moment, this step four, to accept or revise what you feel.
Yeah, and you know, I like in the last little bit where I was kind of talking about where you get to that point where you're kind of able to start moving into that educational space, informative space, the moment where it's like, hey, well, let's actually go back and revise. You know, that's some people, I would say, you know, the change in the hypothesis, that's a win. If somebody is just challenged in their hypothesis, that's still a win, because that's still providing that space of elucidation. And then I would also kind of to Chandler's point, you know, that this method might not be for everyone. I would say I might challenge that claim. I might say this is for everyone, but in smaller pieces a lot of the time.
And I 100% agree with that. Yeah. It's definitely, you know, people may not have experience with this, but as you introduce it, I think in my life, as I've applied these, many people have said, no, you know what? I have really appreciated you pushing where I hadn't pushed my own thoughts before.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. You know, like, it's the kid who wears down their parents over time. You know, it's, you know, you kind of keep coming back, but instead of wearing them down with annoyance, you wear them down with their own lack of reason. But I mean, it's whatever. But I mean, it's a great method of providing space for somebody to safely question in any regard, especially with this topic of Evermore. So I say, like, give it space. And especially for people who are new to the method, like this can absolutely feel daunting. There's a lot to it. But again, I would simplify it, go back to that very base phrase that I gave about what this is. It's perspective exchange for perspective change. As long as you're able to tap into that sort of flow of, well, let's understand where one another's coming from, you're going to come to a better place. So there's that. And then the very last step of this Socratic dialogue process is the step to act accordingly. If the initial hypothesis or the claim was, well, Evermore is not necessarily for me, and you were able to get to a point where the claim was reasonably challenged and potentially changed, you might say, well, hey, let's go to Evermore. It's time to go to Evermore so we can actually see what it actually is. So you can see what it is now that your perspective has changed. And even if for whatever reason, the person didn't fully come around to it, as Chandler had pointed out before, you know, maybe that act accordingly challenges, hey, you know, we were able to get to a point where you said you might be interested in knowing more. Here are some links. Like, let's continue this conversation, but let's continue this conversation with a bit more equal footing on like what this place actually is, so that again, the conversation is just more fruitful. So you have those five steps. You have that wonder question. You have the time to then hypothesize, receive the claim from your interlocutor, your the person that you're speaking with. You have your question exchange. You have your elenchus. You have this time to exchange perspective. You have the accept revise, you have the moment to change perspective, and then you have the act accordingly, which is just the change challenge, where they have this new thought, maybe a new way of looking at something, and you ask them to act accordingly to it. So five-step process to the Socratic dialogue method, and boom, there it is. Yowza wowza, you're now all experts at epistemological examination through Socratic dialogue.
Yay!
So much fun!
Woo!
And honestly, that sounds scary.
it's a lot. I did a lot of like research into this process as I was writing this thing up, and I was like, "Geez, there are whole books written on this thing."
Right.
But we super scaled it back down for Evermore, but to kind of give you some of like the bare bones of it.
Right, and I just to kind of go one more step. This, you're not going to literally be like, now we enter this phase.
Yes, it's like, in a conversation. It appears as though we have stepped through wonder into hypothesis. It is now time for the elenchus.
No, this happens very naturally as you realistically just come to the conversation trying to understand other people and just asking why. And it naturally happens, as in, hey, why exactly, I know we kind of talked previously about Evermore, you were kind of hesitant, why exactly were you not interested in that? Oh, this is why, and the conversation just kind of happens. Always with the intent to understand more and to love more, and to kind of just be on equal footing there. And I really do think that it sounds scarier than it actually is. So just stay with us, and who knows, maybe now is at a good time for a role play.
I would say we're good for a role play. I would just say one thing right before we role play. I would say one last thing about this process. This can be applied not just to Evermore, but again to just about anything in life. This is just a great thing to practice in general in conversation with those around you. If somebody asserts a claim to a belief that you might not understand or fully agree with, a great way to understand where they're coming from and potentially challenge their claim is to engage in this sort of a conversation, because there are plenty of beliefs out there that are totally harmless, but some of them are worth challenging. And if you're practiced in doing this, then you might be able to help somebody break out of a potentially harmful belief. So just a fun little thought. You can help people just think better. So use that as you will. Now, guys, help me think better.
Yeah, so we'll definitely move into that role play now. I will be Skylar, know-it-all of Evermore, and who will you be, Daniel?
I will be Ragthar. No, I'll be Daniel. Is somebody who has maybe lightly heard of Evermore before in conversation from Skylar. I know about his podcast, but maybe I don't think about Evermore in the most positive light.
Excellent. So, let's move into that. Hey, Daniel, I'm headed to a place called Evermore this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard of it.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Would you want to go with me?
I've heard of it, and I'm just not sure that it's for me. It sounds interesting, I guess, but I just don't think it's really like my vibe.
What do you mean by that? Is there something about it? Like what about it is not appealing to you?
I mean, I guess that's a fair question. Evermore. It kind of just seems maybe a bit too fantasy for me. I guess a little nerdy, I looked at the price back when it first opened, and it seemed pretty high. And you dress up to go. I don't think I want to go dress up to go. I guess that's why I don't really think it's like my thing.
That's totally understandable. I can see how that fits that way. If you don't mind, I'm just curious kind of what you mean like by fantasy. What about fantasy do you not particularly enjoy?
I don't really know, man. It just kind of seems like it's just kind of like a bit much. Like I don't even know even where to begin with fantasy. Like I don't even know how like I'm supposed to explain it, but it just seems like there's a lot there and I don't know if I would really care for that.
But that's okay. I actually know of a really great podcast that I listen to where they cover the subject and topic of fantasy. If you like want to listen to that with me and like discuss fantasy sometime, I think it would actually, it's actually a pretty cool episode that just, you know, goes beyond what, you know, fantasy as a genre means and more of just like how it applies in our daily lives. It's kind of interesting.
I don't see why not. Like that'll kind of get me up to speed on what that means by fantasy. So I can answer your question better. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a problem. And if you can't at the end of it, that's fine too.
Sure.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
No, not everything is for everyone, but even if it wasn't for fantasy, would you be interested in going and just checking the place out if I covered the price of admission for you?
I mean, that might change some things, maybe. I still don't know if I'm necessarily certainly sold on dressing up or whatever, but I mean, if you covered some of the costs, like that'd be nice.
Yeah, definitely. It's really cheap. It's only like $15 to get in.
Oh,
so
it's like back when like I looked at the ticket prices, it was like $28 like a person to get in.
Yeah, they used to be a bit more expensive, but now they've kind of broken it down into
I didn't know that they changed it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, to some cheaper prices. Yeah. And at the very least it gets us the ability to just go in for like 4 hours is how long they're open. And at the very least, we can go throw some axes and shoot some bows and arrows and just do that for 4 hours if you don't like anything else. And if not, it's not a big deal either way.
Yeah, I mean, that seems like it's cheap enough. I mean, yeah. Okay. No, yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. And as for the dressing up part, too, I just kind of do that for fun. Is like, what do you think Evermore is expecting in terms of like how you dress?
I mean, like the photos I've seen of you and like of the characters there, like everyone's all dressed up. So I feel like I have to go dressed up. I feel like I need like a pirate's costume or something to get in and like fit in while I'm there.
I mean, there are definitely a lot of people that like to dress up. I like to dress up when I go. However, it's not required, and we're actually in the minority there. Most people are dressed up in regular clothes, and it's actually a part of the whole like story and feel is that you can come dressed up and actually feel like a part of the place. Like, yeah.
All right. Okay, cool. So, I mean, all right. I guess, yeah. Yeah, I'll try out Evermore. When would we go?
I mean, like I said, just this weekend, Evermore's opening back up. We can go check it out and just give it a shot. And if not, if you don't like it, cool.
Nothing. Awesome.
Yeah.
Let's go to Evermore, June 13th. Ticket prices are only $15 for adults. Friday, Saturday, and Monday. Awesome. Cool. That's great.
So let's kind of break that down. Obviously, I didn't do perfectly in answering those questions.
And like it's a format where, you know, at the end of the day, no one's going to ask the questions perfectly. No one's going to give the answers perfectly, because like it's just about the setting up the flow of conversation to allow that process to happen. So in that way, I would say you did a great job. But I mean, you know, you took my sort of issues systematically. You started with the first of fantasy. You went into the price, and you addressed the issue of dress. And I mean, I would say you did a good job of like at least like making me come to realize, hey, you're actually not fully accurate in all of those things. You didn't even know what you were talking about when you were talking about fantasy, buddy. How could you make a claim about it being too fantasy-ish when you don't know what you're talking about? So you did a great job there. Like if that were me in another life, where that actually was me, like I would feel like legitimately puzzled of like, hey, you know what? I actually was wrong. And also I would say this is a great method of being wrong. Doesn't feel like, oh, I'm wrong, I'm a bad person. It's wrong. Ooh, discovery, new things. Great. So it frames that change in a positive light. So I would say like, overall, like the dialogue felt positive for me, as your interlocutor.
Well, thank you. I'm glad. I was really trying to just portray the fact that I was like, hey, I'm going to do this thing. I would just like to hang out with you as a friend. So even if we go to this place and don't do the thing, we can still just hang out together. And that's a fine enough evening for me.
Yeah. And I would say like in terms of like what we were discussing with this whole process anyways, I think what you did, Skylar, was you demonstrated just how basic the conversation can actually look.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't anything super fancy. You didn't make it feel like I was on blast. It was just like, no, like let me understand like why you feel this way about the thing you're talking about. So again, like great work there. I felt the caring in the question. There was perspective exchange, and there was perspective change. That is my phrase for this episode.
I like it. I really like it.
Of course.
As far as everything else goes, thank you so much for joining us today for today's episode. We really hope that you get out there and invite people to Evermore Park, especially as it is opening up this weekend, as mentioned by Dan and Skylar there in their wonderful role play. It is opening back up, and honestly, it will look a little bit different. So if you have not gone before, now is your chance. You are very much with everyone else, so you're not out of place. And it actually sounds like the park is making its story and its kind of gameplay aspect, it's all more digestible and really for everyone. It now caters to all people, regular diehards, newcomers. Everyone is invited to come to the park and really see how it now functions.
Yeah, as we kind of were mentioning before, and however, Evermore kind of has a lot of new things. The gate price is only $15 to get in now, and they've added
and that's for adults. It's $10 for kids.
Yes, correct. Yeah. They've added,
and then it's free
for children under the age of 3.
Children. Okay, excellent. Cool. So that is all out there. Now you're good.
Yes, I'm just very excited about them.
Of course, I am as well. I am as well, sir.
About the new additions of events that they have going on, like. They have advertised that they will have a battle arena now for sword fighting with foam weapons against your friends, because I know I would like to beat my friends to a pulp with a foam sword. I think that will be fun.
Note to self, don't get in the arena with Skylar.
Note to self, capture Chandler and throw him into arena.
And I mean, if you're really interested in settling some family disputes, a great way to say it is, I will meet you in the arena this Friday, and you can take the battle there. So I mean, if your brother's being a bit of a butthead, challenge him to the arena.
Challenge you to a duel. I've thrown down the gauntlet.
And they must accept or they are a curse.
And just kind of moving into additionally some more changes that Evermore has announced. It looks like they do have some price changes with things that were already there. We did mention that archery and axe throwing is included in that gate price. However, there will be nightly tournaments, and that is $10. And then you also have some Evermore Express changes there, where it's actually $3 per ride per person.
On that train.
On the train,
yeah, yes. The train Evermore Express.
However, realistically, we will cover all of these changes more in depth in our later episode that is to come. We wanted to mention that here, it sounds like we just got information on what an Evermore Epic was. This first one that we'll be starting out, which will run for the space of 2 weeks, is called...
Yar hardy har, the Bow of the Last Shackle.
Which is incredibly interesting. I love that title. And it looks like a portion of the park will be sectioned off for people that pay for that Evermore Epic.
There's a bit more of a description on Evermore social media, so be sure to check out their Instagram handle at Evermore Park. They kind of explain it a little bit more in depth there, but basically it is an additional story experience that is a bit more linear than the park has typically been.
Yeah, and like there's still an outside of that space, there's still the guild progression, chatting with characters that are outside of that space anyways. So like, don't feel like you won't be able to experience Evermore if you don't buy into that additional experience of the Epic. Like that is for people who specifically want to go there to participate and make a lasting impact in a story. Some people, like I was in that role play earlier, might be just served best by going and just checking out the regular sort of quote unquote base experience of the Park of Evermore first. And like, add on the other experiences until they build up to that moment of, you know what, I really do want to engage in that story. And looking at the ticket price with story on top of the base entry, it's basically equivalent to park entry in the past. So you're not losing out on any past experience of Evermore for those who have been there in the past. It's just making it more customizable for those who have never really been in the past like you have.
Right. I really liked how the park put it on their social media, which was, you know, these Evermore epics, these story adventures that you can, you do have to pay to be involved. But this would be like the overarching story of the park. These are kind of the tableaus that we would normally see. This is the overall story. And that's where you can go to experience that. Yeah. There is still story outside of that without paying. And that would be more so the character as specific stories, their character,
right,
arcs,
right,
their understanding. So it is very interesting and very customizable there.
And it seems pretty interesting as well. Up towards the top of the episode, we kind of talked about how the park is a bit of a choose your own adventure book. These epics are going to have multiple endings, and the writers of the story are going to be sort of checking up on which endings are happening most frequently. And so the ending that happened most frequently is going to be the one that's going to be canon for the future of Evermore. We'll be able to kind of participate, and I would even say engage in a dialogue with other Worldwalkers to say, what do we actually want to happen to Evermore? And I have a lot of questions about what these other universes are, these other things were happening. Like, what if any... like rationale do they have behind that? I'm curious. I'm intensely curious. But like, what a cool new step for Evermore to go in. The really showing us all of the ways Evermore can go. I think that's awesome.
I agree. I'm really very excited to see how this functions. And again, as Chandler had mentioned, we will be covering this new model change in its own episode. We really want it to be thorough and very in-depth, so we will be doing a two-week experience. We will go experience the event multiple times and then see how it changes over into the next storyline that will happen for the next 2 weeks, And then once we experience all of that, we will create the episode and get it back to you so that you can get a true breakdown of what that looks like. So just as what that means for you is that there will probably be just one episode in between the time that we return to you. If things go horribly awry, which we do not intend for that to be, then potentially two episodes before you hear that. But we're trying to get that to you as quickly as possible. So two episodes from now, look out for that. We will be telling you more about Evermore's new epic structure story model.
But thank you again for joining us on today's episode, and thank you to Evermore Park for reopening. We are so excited.
I've missed you.
We needed that escape into fantasy and that safe place to explore that mentality, especially with everything going on right now. Evermore Park is needed, and we are so thankful for you and for you, the listener. Thank you for joining us.
And if you like what we're doing, feel free to support us over on at patreon.com/worldtalkers.
Just like I was saying earlier, to stay updated on all things Evermore, be sure to follow the park at evermore.com, as well as on their social media at Evermore Park.
You can follow us on our social media with the handle at World Talkers, and we have a lot of great content as well on our new website, worldtalkers.com.
Feel free to get in contact with us. Leave us a message at 801-332-9321 or email us at worldtalkers.podcast@gmail.com. We want to hear from you and to get in contact with you.
Also, again, if you like what you're listening to, we would really appreciate it if you would leave us a review either on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to your podcasts to help us spread the word about Evermore and get people excited that it's opening back up again.
And for our new Patreon sort of revised tiers, if you weren't tapped into that, we just sort of updated some of them to give more bang for the buck and to make them more accessible. We just want to shoot a big old thanks to Aileen, Mary, the Huldra King, and Wes. Thank you for supporting us at the $10 tier.
That last one's my dad. Thank you, Dad.
Thanks. thanks, Papa Skyler. thank you for giving us your son.
And that's going to be all for us today. Honestly, we invite you to reach out to those around you and question everything, and you might just find yourself with new friends
beyond the portal.